You about two mothers from the Torah. In the scriptures from the book of Ruth, we know that Ruth tells us of the lineage of David leading on to Yeshua. Well, we look at the book of Ruth and take it to face value most of the time. But did you know that there is a story within a story, a hidden story, an allegory? And that's what I'd like to speak to you today about, and try to bring out that story within the story. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you, Lord. We worship you. We adore you. And Father, we do thank you for our mothers. Today, Lord, we just pray that this Mother's Day weekend, that you would pour out special blessings upon them, Lord. And Lord, just anoint their time of prayer this afternoon, Father. Just let your spirit fall upon them and touch them, each and every one, Lord. Revive them, rejuvenate them, Lord, and give them strength that they need. And Father, we do thank you for the offspring that these mothers have birthed, for the children, Lord, that will be our future. And Lord, we just pray as fathers of the children that we take up some of the slack off of the mothers, Lord, and give them a time of rest. We take care of the children. And Father, while the women are in prayer today, I just pray that the men will be in prayer also. That they would, like Kathy says, each and every one of us would take this serious, and that we would not put anything before you. And Father, I just ask you now that you help me with this message. Help me to impart what is here. Give me the words, Yeshua's name. Amen. Like I said, it's from the book of Ruth. And it's starting with the very first chapter. With Ruth 1, 1 and 2. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to dwell in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. Verse 2. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Naomi, whose name is My Pleasantness, is a type of Israel. And her husband, Elimelech, whose name means God is King. They leave Bethlehem to escape the famine. They escape the scarcity of food, but not God's judgment. They live out from under God's covering in evil heathen Moab. They take their two sons, Mahlon, which means sick, and Helion, which means pining away. Now, what names for children, for your sons? Listen now, listen. Like I said, there's a story within a story here. Their names paint a picture of Jewish exile from the spiritual blessings that God wants to pour out on them, on his people. The family left Bethlehem, which means house of bread, and is also, as you know, Yeshua's birthplace, the one who is also the bread of life. We see Naomi, Israel, rejecting the call of carrying the light to the nations. And for this, Israel went into exile. Went into exile for a period This also speaks, well, it went into a, excuse me, yes, went into a period of exile for almost 1900 years. Ruth 1, 3 through 5 Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Helion also died, so the woman survived her two sons and her husband, speaking of Naomi. Naomi's sons take wives, like I told us in 4, of the women of Moab. One was Orpah, whose name means full mane, like my horse's mane, our stiff neck. And Ruth, whose name means friendship. In verse 5, they live there for about 10 years, and Naomi's sons, Mahlon and Helion, die. In looking at this book as prophetic Israel, Naomi is rejecting the Messiah's gospel. She's lost her sense that my God is king. Her Elimelech had died, and she was bereaved of her sons also. But then she hears that Adonai is visiting his people in Israel by giving them bread, and she desires to return. Ruth 1:6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-laws that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Salvation of the Jewish people has begun. Some of you are testimony of that. Adonai's blessing is again being poured out in Israel, signaling the end of exile. The book of Ruth has much to say to us today. The land of Israel was restored in 1948. Became a nation again. The bread of salvation is once again being poured out on the Jewish people. And God is raising up Jews who believe in their Messiah, Yeshua. Millions of exiled Jewish people have returned from many nations, and more are returning. God is regathering his people so he can pour out on them his spirit. In Ruth 1, 7 through 15, Naomi wants her daughter-in-laws to be happy. So she tells them to go back to their own families, to their own people. Orpah, stiff-necked, and Ruth, friend, together make up this scenario of the two kinds of believers in Yeshua. Orpah leaves Naomi, returns home to Moab, represents those believers who have no real burden for the Jewish people. And they identify more with the unsaved nations than with Israel. And in many cases, even take the sides of Israel's enemies. She does not have the grace to yield herself to God's plan for Naomi or Israel. She does not discern the spiritual significance of clinging to Israel because she's blinded to this. In Ruth 1, 16 and 17, Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you, or to turn back from following after you. For where you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. Lord, do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Today, these verses are often used as part of a wedding vow. Ruth, on the other hand, will not listen to Naomi. Her love is so strong that for Naomi that even wild horses couldn't keep her away. And even Naomi's rejection couldn't push her away. Why? She has been given the grace from Adonai to resist what is natural and worldly. She sees that in Naomi's God is the God of the universe. And Ruth had a burning zeal that could only come from God. Ruth represents the portion of the Gentile believers that has a heart for the Jewish people, or as we call it, a Jewish heart. There is a rising of those in the Messianic congregation and in some churches, a new and fresh love for Jewish things. For the Jewish festivals and for Israel. For the common roots of the Jewish faith, or for the Jewish roots of our common faith in Yeshua. Upon Naomi's return to Bethlehem in Ruth 1:20 and 21, Naomi tells the women not to call her Naomi, my pleasantness. She says, I'm not pleasant. I'm Myra, or bitterness. Because the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, she says, and the Lord has brought me home empty. And on down in 1:22, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Barley was the lowest of grains. It was a poor man's bread. And it represents the Messiah's harvest of the lowly and the humble of heart. In our generation, in which Israel has been restored for the great end-time harvest. In Ruth 2:2, Ruth asked Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I might find favor. We know this is a gleaner today. Then, back then, they considered it a beggar. Naomi said, "Go, my daughter." Ruth goes to the field of a rich and mighty spiritual man named Boaz. This represents the believers who are interceding on behalf of Israel, that God would save her, giving her the precious bread of life. Boaz's name means "in him is strength." He is a close relative of Naomi and a type of Messiah, Yeshua, a kinsman redeemer. Boaz notices Ruth in verse 5, and in verse 6, he finds out that she is the daughter-in-law of Naomi. He finds out all that she's done for Naomi. And Boaz tells her in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, to glean in his field only. Kind of like the Messiah telling us to glean in his field, that they are ripe unto harvest. He gives her protection and heaps favors upon her to glean among the sheaves and not the fallen pieces. He gives us that protection and that favor. He says also to eat and drink among the harvesters. And Ruth asked in 2:10, so she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him. Paints a picture, doesn't it? And we should ask this question, as she asked, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answers 2:11 and 12. He said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you left your father and your mother, how you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before." In verse 12, "The Lord repay your word, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Because Ruth, the believers, adopted Naomi's, Israel's God, and her people, Boaz, Yeshua, bestowed abundant blessings on Ruth. Her love and intercession are greatly rewarded. When Ruth shows Naomi all the grains and tells her the favors Boaz has shown her, they agree she should stay with Boaz until the end of harvest. Just as we should stay with Yeshua through the harvest. because of Naomi, Ruth is directed into a blessing from the God of Israel. Israel provided the world with Messiah, though she herself has not yet found him. This demonstrates that Israel's blindness to Yeshua is destined to be removed. Naomi counsels Ruth to seek Boaz as a husband under the Levirate laws of the kinsman redeemer. Boaz agrees and marries Ruth. She bears him a son named Obed, which means servant, service, or even worship. Obed is the blessing to Ruth from Boaz. Just as Yeshua was a servant, service, in order to worship him, Obed is a blessing from Ruth, to Ruth from Boaz. Yet when the women in Israel hear of Obed's birth, they rejoice and say to Naomi, in 4, 14 and 15, the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be your restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than 7 sons, has borne him." So the relationship of Boaz, Yeshua, and Ruth, the believers, produces an offspring of service to God that becomes the continuation of Naomi's family, her family line, and her heritage in Abraham's covenant, which was in jeopardy for lack of an heir. The child Obed, service to God, restores the lineage of Naomi, Israel, who has literally come to life. Ruth has given Naomi a reintroduction through Obed to Boaz Yeshua. Salvation comes to Naomi Israel through the seed of Obed, of the calling of service to God and grace of Boaz Yeshua, given to and through Ruth, the believers. Ruth 4, 16 and 17. "Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighborhood women gave him a name, saying, 'This is a son born to Naomi.' and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. God is grafting Israel back into her calling through Ruth's love. Naomi became a nurse to Boaz and Ruth's child. Through the believers, Israel is saved and will have God as her husband again. The sharing of the good news of Messiah to Naomi. Through God's grace, even allows Naomi to become nurse to Obed. Naomi, an aging woman, surely without milk in her breast, having two grown sons who are long deceased, is miraculously able to nurse a child. Are you getting this? Obed is not sick. So she's not nursing him to health from sickness. But she's wet nursing him. As if Naomi is wet nursing him. It's like she's become as vibrant as she gave birth to Obed herself. Israel is coming back to life. The believers must perform their role of calling Israel back to faith by loving her. The pregnancy or fullness of the Gentiles is about to come in. And all Israel will be saved. Romans 11, 25 and 26. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is a picture of the Gentile believers in Israel, married to Yeshua, giving service to God and fulfilling their calling and destiny. The church has carried the gospel for many centuries, just as Ruth carried Obed in her womb. He grew and developed there. And now after these many years, the church will lay the calling of carrying the gospel onto the breast of Israel. As I was preparing this, my wife said something to me. And I took it before the Lord. My spirit was quickened. And it's that there's someone here who feels like Naomi when she first returned from Israel. And there may be more than one. You may be grieving a loss, or you may feel forsaken. Or maybe you feel like you'll never know the joy of motherhood. You might be feeling all of the above, but Adonai says to you, your joy will be restored. Your joy will be restored. Now I want to ask, are you a Naomi? If you are a Naomi who has returned to your Messiah, are you nursing children? Are you reproducing? Are you feeding? And what I'm asking are you discipled and are being discipled to others? Are you speaking into other people's lives? Calling others to faith? Are you reproducing in your faith? And after you call others to faith, are you feeding them, discipling them? Are you being discipled? Are you a Ruth? If you are a Ruth, are you loving and sharing the gospel to Naomis who haven't yet begun to nurse the Obeds, who don't yet know their Messiah personally? And yes, the Ruths are also called to reproduce, to feed, as well as disciple and be discipled. But more importantly, they are to encourage and bring to the forefront the Naomis who are to take the lead in these areas. Does this just speak of mothers? No. This hits you too, men. In this case, you're to be a mother also. Or are you a Orpah? Is it your calling to be a part of the life of Naomi lives? The part that your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Are you an Orpah? Are you a part of a messianic congregation for another reason? For example, for the worship, for the dance, for the Torah study, or just to come and socialize? People, we can't just be consumers. We have to be participants. We all need to check our priorities and get our priorities straight. We need to seek our heart. And we need to make sure that it lines up with Yeshua and with what God wants. This time I'm going to do things a little different. I'm going to ask John and Batya to come up, my wife, Jerry and Kathy, you come up also. There's someone here who this has touched, who does not know yet know Messiah as their Savior. I'll ask you to come up in a little bit, but I'm going to go on and say more. I don't want you to be embarrassed by being the only one coming up. If you feel you need to rededicate your life, I want you to come up. If you have a need that you need to take before the Lord, I want you to come up. Be it physical, financial, spiritual, I would ask now that you come up and seek prayer with one of these up here. Don't be bashful, come on up.